Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We have a show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Mike Kerr with us from Hear the Watchmen, and we have a conference coming up. We're going to tell you about that. We're also going to hit some issues that are very important to the spiritual warfare that we're locked into right now against the satanic globalists. And I think you're going to really enjoy this show. You're going to get a lot from it. Hopefully, you'll come out of this being a stronger person morally, ethically, spiritually. So that's our goal for this. And before we start, though, we have a sponsor. 220 banks this week were announced to be in big trouble. The FDIC does not have the funds to cover it. This could be your bank someday. Do you really want to take that chance? And the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says they can keep your money because you are now declared to be an unsecured creditor when you put your money in a bank. That's right. They can soften their fall by stealing your money. Can you start over on your retirement? Well, Noble Gold specializes in retirement conversions where they put it under your control and then they back it with gold and then the banks can never touch it. They can do similar things with your bank account. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer that they did not make FTX give. I thought that was really interesting, but we're happy to comply because we're law abiding. Any investment carries an inherent risk and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. Let me just remind you of this, though, with becomes in regard to Noble Gold, their efficacy of treatment, their competence, and their honesty. I have been an advertiser for 6.5 years. I've been a customer for 6 years. A customer. That's right. I put my money where my mouth is. Noble Gold, I can send you information easily, digitally. No one will bug you. No obligation. You can go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Or if you feel the urgency of the moment, like I'm calling Noble Gold when we're done with this broadcast today, I kid you not, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Do not let these globalist bankers steal your retirement or steal your money. Mike, welcome to the show, my friend. Really looking forward to our discussion here. And just to kind of preliminarily mention, and we'll get into the conference later, but we have a Hear the Watchmen conference coming up that you and Jeannie sponsor, and it's in Dallas. Can you give us just a few details?
Sure. It's in Dallas, Texas, or Grapevine, Greater Grapevine. Dallas area. About 10 minutes from DFW. We're going to gather. You're going to be a speaker. Paul Begley's a speaker. Heidi Begley's a speaker. Jamie Walden's a speaker. It goes on and on and on, Dave. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. But it's not too late, folks, to get involved. Just go to hearthewatchmen.com. Take a look at it. You can either access it via live stream on demand or come on out. Be a part of it. If you're in the Dallas area, come on out and spend the time with us. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then for those of
what
you...
What are the dates of that, Mike?
It's April 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And I'll tell you what, Dave, what's really exciting is the eclipse goes through. That's on Monday. So if people are hanging out and staying over with us, we're going to all just pray and see the eclipse. It'll be the second time in my lifetime that I've seen a total eclipse. And it's an experience. So that's what's going on there. We can get into the details later if you like.
Okay. All right. That's fantastic. I know Derek Gilbert's going to be there. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, Derek's there.
Oh, he's incredible. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Derek, I mean, that's an exciting... I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to mention his name. But Derek originally was not going to be able to come. He was going to have to appear by video because they were supposed to be on a trip to Israel where they were taking a tour. And of course, based on what happened in Israel, that's off the table.
No, I do not want them putting their lives in danger. Nope.
No.
No, I'm glad that Derek is not going to do that. They're quite the Gilberts are quite the dynamic couple. They really are.
Yeah, they're great. And Sharon will be there too, and it'll be
Sharon gave the single best presentation in Branson about 5 years ago on transhumanism. It was unbelievable, and I've had her back on my show a couple times to talk about that. She is truly a gift, both of them. I'm huge fans of the Gilberts. Anyway, Mike, last night I had the privilege of speaking to Hear the Watchman Remnant, and I talked about the apostate church in the following way. And it's a huge problem. But as we go, and I think it's really the reason I identify this as a problem is because we're dealing with such terrible challenges. The only way out of this is through the Lord Jesus. There's not a physical solution to this spiritual attack that we're under. And but I wondered, when you look at these problems we're dealing with, what jumps out at you as the top one or two items that we're confronted with?
Well, first of all, Dave, there's a mass exodus from the church. I
Yes.
mean, they're truly, as you quoted some numbers last night that I've read and seen before. And if you look up Google apostate church and see what it says, what you'll find is it's a time when believers leave the truth and leave the Lord. Okay, so what's interesting about that is what's the first victim in all of this, and that's the truth. And it tells us in Revelation that this will happen. But you see that what's happening across the country is how skewed the truth has become. It's very hard to find the truth. And I'm not talking, Dave, people accuse me, and I know they accuse you of the tinfoil hat thing, and we're all like conspiracy theorists, and all that stuff. It's not that, guys. I mean, it's all you got to do is just look at the facts. And you can tell, you look at some of the stuff that comes out of Washington, D.C. I mean, right now, some of the craziness, the Biden administration is pushing as hard as they can to get rid of internal combustion automobiles. Now, here's what doesn't make sense to me. You take a kid like my son or my daughter-in-law, they both have great jobs, they're okay. But then you take another young kid, my stepson, who's really just getting into the workforce. He can't afford to go out and spend $100,000 on an electric car. I mean, he can hardly afford to get gas in the car he has now. So how does that all work? And where does the lie come into all that, And that trickles down to, I'm afraid, Dave, right into the church. When you have the church, the 501c3 churches are afraid to tell the truth because
Yeah,
what
let's talk about why they're afraid to tell the truth. Because they're tax exempt, and the government has said if you get into political issues, we'll take away your tax exemption. So therefore, the church would have to pay taxes on every contribution they get. That's holding a lot of pastors in check, isn't it?
well and it, and it's it, well it's control. That's all it is government control. Hear the Watchman is a church. We are not a 501c3, but we are considered, according to the Internal Revenue Service, when we file our taxes, a church. But they can't come in and tell us what we can talk about and what we can't talk about because we're afraid that we're going to lose our 501c3. Because what's happened to the churches, the brick and mortar churches out there, Dave, is the pastors are more concerned about their donation base than they are the truth. And if they tell the truth, they may ruin their donation base, which is why, in my opinion, we have all these churches that are pro-gay marriage and all of that, and the women pastors and all that stuff. And I'm not bashing women, so don't send me an email saying I'm a misogynist. No, I'm not. I'm just going off what the Bible says. And that's the problem. We go back to what does the Bible tell us to do? But you see, we can't do that because the pastors are afraid. They're afraid the government will take their parish, take their people, take their 501c3, and then what are they left with? More churches have failed in recent years than have succeeded, you know, and the ones that succeed, you know, you look at the Joel Osteens, right? They're always going to make it because they want everyone to feel good. And unfortunately, the Bible, when you read the Bible and you follow what's in the Bible, it's not always feel good. It'll always end up good, but it might not feel good while you're going through it. You know what I'm saying there, Dave?
Yeah, you know, I want to address the Joel Osteen thing for a second, if I could. And I'm certainly not his apologist. I got criticized because I brought up something he said that I thought was timely and on point. And doesn't mean I agree with everything he's done, and I don't. Keeping people who are refugees out of the church, I thought that was wrong. It's rumored that he has married gay people. I think that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong. I know it's wrong. But I'll say this. He's labeled as the feel-good psychology pastor, but I thought, okay, well, I'm going to analyze what he's saying. So he's on my Cirrus, which I have on my vehicle. So I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to him for a while and try to analyze where he's coming from. And let me tell you, he's not all the feel-good. There's some value in what he says. And I'm not saying that we should lay down and follow him. What I'm saying is, I've heard him say quite simply, you pray for God's intervention. God has great plans for you. You're great. You're going to be good. And if you have faith, you know, the Lord will bless you with the talents that you have and enhance them. But he also said about the time of the season, and this is really on point. He said, sometimes you have to serve from where you're at. Sometimes you're trapped in that desert for 40 years, and you have to serve the Lord from where you're at. And there is not an immediate answer to rescue you from your circumstances. So the criticism of him that's blanket, it's all positive, and there's no challenge to being a Christian. Mike, I've heard him talk about this. And that's why I like to be honest in this. He does things I don't agree with, okay? But some of the accusations against him are unfounded. I just wanted to bring that out because
Well,
I do believe that we are sometimes challenged. Like right now in America, we live in a poop hole. We really do, an immoral poop hole. And we have to serve the Lord from the poop hole that we're stuck in. And that was a Joel Osteen sermon I heard. So, what's your reaction to that, Mike?
I got to tell you, and I'm glad you brought this up because honestly, I feel that Joel Osteen's done more to bring young people, especially to the church, to Christianity, than probably any pastor that I know. Because he has the charisma and the ability to bring them in. Now, what happens once they're in? You know, that's where all this debate comes up. But people forget the fact that, you know, you will, and this, I preach this to people all the time. You know, when you meet a new Christian or you meet someone who's trying to turn their life over to Christ, don't open the Bible up to the book of Revelation. That's not where you start. You know, I mean, and that's the problem. You get a lot of these guys out there that are preaching the world is coming to an end. Time is short. It's over. You know, Jesus is coming. Yeah, I agree with that. Jesus is coming. When? I certainly don't know. And the minute anybody who's preaching says he's coming on this date, I run. Man, that's it. I'm gone. We went through that, Dave. I'll tell you right now. It's interesting. We did a conference in Boise, Idaho, and it was during the eclipse that we had. I can't remember the year. I can't remember what year last year was most of the time. But anyway, we all watched the eclipse. It was a big deal, you know. What was a big deal was that all these people were preaching that that was it. That is when Jesus is coming. And I had a speaker at that conference who was going, he came to me and he said, this is what I'm going to talk about. And he was talking about how this is the date that the Lord is coming. And I said, please, I said, do yourself a favor and don't do that. You know, and he went ahead and did, and he's now living in a motel somewhere. I mean,
Yeah, the Bible's very clear. We will not know the hour or the day of the Lord's return. He's coming, and I don't know that it's very far off given circumstances that look like tribulation, but I can't even say that's true. You know, Mike, if we all repented on the same day across America, across the world, we wouldn't have a tribulation coming up in the near future. Because if people, I said this last night on your broadcast, Nineveh. Nineveh was set to be destroyed, and Jonah was so determined the Lord should destroy Nineveh, and they had an argument, and he went off and pouted at the Lord's will. And the Lord says, "Why would I destroy a city that we now have a chance to save?" And he would say, he would take the same attitude towards America. Why would I let America be destroyed if we have a chance to save it? This is what motivates me to do what I do in part, Mike, is I want to help my fellow man. I want to help Americans. I want us to survive, and I believe the only way to really guarantee that is to submit to Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. And you know, that is the premise of Hear the Watchman, you know, where it's we're about restoration, revival, you know, worship, and it's all about for us serving the Lord and also serving the Lord's children. Now, that's where it becomes tough and kind of muddied sometimes is, hey, you know, how do you help people? You help people by bringing them to Jesus. You help people by living your life in a moral fashion that will lead them to want what you have and ask you, how do you do that? You know, I'll give you a great example of what a true Christian lifestyle is. Jamie Walden, Omega Dynamics. He runs the Calico Buffalo Base Camp that he built up in Colorado. Amazing kid. I mean, he's not really a kid, but to me, he's a kid. He's I think he's in his late 30s, but he,
He's a kid.
yeah, he's a kid.
He
Yeah,
looks like he's barely old enough to shave.
doesn't he? I know he does.
I know.
But he's a, you know, he was a Marine. He was at, you know, if you ask me, he still is a Marine. And he after he cycled out, he went back to Afghanistan and Iraq on his own with some of his buddies and his own weapons and all that to protect Christians from being beheaded. And because he felt that that's what the Lord asked him to do. When I had my heart problem, which was pretty severe, Jamie Weldon called my wife and said, "I will get in my car and come out there right now, and I will plow your driveway. I'll do whatever you need." And he said, "You don't have to feed me. You don't have to do anything. I'll just be there." Now, that is what the true Christian man or woman would do. When someone calls you that's a brother or sister in Christ and says, "I need help," you don't say, "Well, I would help you, but let me see if I can get the day off. Let me see. I'm not sure I can afford the food. I'm not, oh, what about the gas? I'm not sure I can afford the gas." You don't do that. You just go. Why do you just go? Because that's what Jesus would do. When Jesus goes to help, Jesus shows up to help. That's it. And unfortunately, Dave, within the remnant body of Christ, we have a faction now that is, "I'll do it as long as it's convenient for me." It, you know, and it's like, and I don't want to get us in trouble, but it's like the whole, "I don't eat pork, I eat kosher." You know what? That's really great. I'm glad you guys do. That's a healthy aspect, but you do that for you. You're not doing that for Jesus. You're doing that for you. Do something for Jesus means that you sacrifice everything that you know to do something for Jesus. And we don't do that enough in America. We don't. We want to do something, but we want something in return for doing it.
That's our culture. And it explains part of the falling away from the church by the masses. But also, there's another element too. Pastors that are hamstrung by 501c3 don't tell people what they need to hear, and instinctively they know it, and they leave the church because of it.
I mean, it's, and we have pastors that are really concerned about what people think about them.
You
And
know, aren't you supposed to speak the truth boldly and then go about your business and not worry about what people think?
well, I mean, it's like people like you, people like me, the Hagman, Doug Hagman, it's they speak the truth. And basically, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm not a cranky old tinfoil hat man, but I'm telling you right now, if I tell you the truth and you don't like it, oh well, what can I say? It doesn't mean, and that's the other thing that gets me. So I tell you the truth as I see it. And you don't agree with that. So now you don't speak to me. You don't, you just cut me off like I don't exist anymore. That's the other thing that's crazy. Like, okay, fine. I have this perspective. Dave Hodges has another perspective. He and I can talk about it. We can even walk away not agreeing with each other, and then
Exactly.
we'll go have dinner and laugh,
Exactly.
it doesn't, but
You know,
with
that's the way politics used to be, Mike. I remember reading
exactly.
these stories that there'd be shouting matches on the floor of the House, and then the people are shouting at each other, we'll go have lunch together. And see, that's mature. That's a mature human being that accepts someone for who they are and loves them for who they are, but can disagree with them. And we have lost that ability. Everyone is an enemy now if they don't agree with you.
Well, I'm going to submit this to your listeners, your viewers, and to mine as well. When you're out in the world and you're going through life, before you do say, take an action, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Just pause for a second and ask yourself that. And then whatever in that moment, something will be revealed to you. Go with that, because that's the Lord telling you what to do, instead of Mike Kerr telling you what to do or Dave Hodges telling you what to do. If in America we had more of that and more repentance, like you talked about, imagine the possibilities. Just imagine the possibilities. Instead, we're stuck in this quagmire of the elections and the Democrats trying to bankrupt Donald Trump and all of this craziness and all that. I mean, I'm 65 years old. In my entire adult life, I don't ever remember a political climate like we have today.
Because
It's
it's
just
satanically inspired, Mike. That's why.
absolutely satanically inspired.
Satanism, I'm doing a show with Ted Brewer next week, and Ted's coming on to talk about all the satanic symbolism that permeates our culture now, and it's rampant. And he just gave me a couple of examples when we spoke on the phone 2 days ago. And I'm thinking, hey, Ted, you're right. You're right about that. You're right about that. I said, Ted, we got to do a show on this. And Satan has infiltrated this culture from top to bottom. And a lot of its symbolism. I mean, when they took down in New York City, they took down a statue of Teddy Roosevelt and some other American figure, I don't remember who, and they replaced it with symbols of Satanism in New York City. The city government paid for that. So much for the not supporting religion with taxpayers' money, huh?
Yeah, well, look at what happened in New York.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. You know, there's a story I want to digress to for a second, just to have people see how crazy things are. There's a lady, she lives in a $1 million house. She's not poor, she's doing well. Her parents passed away. She inherited their house. And so within a week of the inheritance, she goes over to the house to find the locks have been changed. Okay. And so she took the locks off, she reinstalled her own locks. And there were squatters that were living in there, and they called the police on her for keeping them out of her house that she legally owns. She had the deed in hand, and guess who the police arrested? The homeowner, in favor of the illegal aliens. This is a society that's turned upside down. And that's why I want to take this back into the pulpit. To me, Mike, the Bible says better to tie a millstone around your neck than to ever harm a child. And yet, how many pastors are speaking about child mutilation, genital mutilation, puberty blockers, things that screw their health up? You don't even have to talk about the morality. Just the health threats are terrible. But we're not even, do you know of any pastors that are making this a crusade that have a regular church? And I'm not talking Paul Begley, because I know Paul Begley does. But what I'm talking about are the majority of pastors. How can they ignore what's happening to children? That just is mind-boggling to me.
Because, in my opinion, they turn a blind eye to things because they want to keep collecting their donations
Believe at the expense of children.
and it doesn't matter at the expense of who. It's no different than the mafia. They're in it for them. That's the problem. If you're in it for Jesus, you wouldn't dare do anything like that.
Amen to that.
You couldn't
Amen to
live.
that.
You couldn't live with yourself if you did that. And there are plenty of good pastors out there. Mike Spaulding, is a prime example. A great pastor, has a Calvary Chapel in Lima, Ohio, and he's just an outstanding man. But then we run into these other ones that are, like you say, just abusing it. And we go back to that. What you were talking about, the woman with the house that she changed the locks and the cops came and arrested her. I read that story. I also saw a YouTube, and I think I got to it, but I was reading some stuff out of the UK Daily Mail, which it blows my mind, but that's like a National Enquirer of sorts, but when they get to news, they disclose news here in the States before anybody in the States discloses it.
That's true.
There was a YouTube of an illegal, for lack of a better word. I'm not trying to label people, but I guess I just did.
Oh, people label themselves by their actions, Mike. So go ahead and
Yeah,
tell the story.
but I think it was from Argentina or something like that. Or Venezuela, and he did a YouTube that was insanely popular, had like millions of views, where he told people how to squat and take over a home. And his advice was, as soon as you see, and he lived in New York, as soon as you see a vacant property, take it, steal it, take it, and run with it. They can't do anything to you. That was his advice. And it's like, where and how did we end up in a world like that? And where and how we were going back, let's go back to what you were talking about, the pastors and the children. Look, I was born in 1959. I grew up in the late 60s, 70s, crazy times, but I don't remember anybody who was confused as to whether they were male or female. Yet now we have kids and we have schools that are like catering to children who are confused about whether they're male or female.
I think they're enhancing it, not catering.
Yeah, I think you're right. Better choice of words,
They're encouraged. They're coming. Kids don't think like this. Listen, I'm a psychologist by training, okay, and I taught it for decades. And I can tell you right now, kids at the age of six sitting in first grade aren't contemplating what they are sexually. Okay, they're not contemplating their gender identity except as the culture has already taught them. Okay, boys play football, girls play soccer. I mean, they'll get that kind of enhancement when they're in first grade. But in terms of, gee, we should stop you from growing into puberty. What first grader would ever think of this? None, until some pervert puts it in their brain.
that's all it takes, and that's why If we go back to what does it mean to be a Christian? And I'm not talking about the people that say, yes, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Easter and Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are really Christians, who read the Bible, who profess to be Christian, yet then when they see stuff like this going on, they do nothing. And what is the only thing that it takes for evil to triumph?
Good men to do nothing.
There you have it. And unfortunately, that's what's going on. There are good men out there and good women out there, but they're like, I'm so afraid to do or say anything about this because I'm afraid of what people will do. Listen,
Yeah, that's true.
if you're a Christian, you have to have a conviction, you know. And you know, I will tell the story. You know, I have a daughter who is gay. And we do not speak to each other anymore. Not for any reason. Nothing major happened. She just told me at one point in time that as long as I had the beliefs that I had regarding the LBG,
EQXYZ,
yeah,
among,
whatever it
yeah.
is,
Okay, I hear you.
as long as I harbored those feelings and spoke about it at conferences and on YouTube and things like that, she could not have a relationship with me. But if I changed my position, she could have a relationship for me. And she's a doctor. And I said to her, well, I'm sorry, you know, I love you with all my heart, but I cannot give up my conviction to Jesus. I won't do it. But you see, that requires conviction. It requires the ability to put up with other people saying to me, like, oh, you're such a horrible parent, you know, and how
Whoa,
can
whoa,
you?
whoa. What do people expect you to do?
They expect me to change my position just to appease her because that's what's happened in America, Dave.
The answer is no to that, Mike.
Yeah. And but see, in America today, in it's my opinion again. That in America today, people are like so afraid to stand up for what they believe in. They're just so afraid because someone might not like them. That what, and I'm talking pastors too.
I think it goes deeper than that, though, Mike. It's
They
not
will.
just not being approved of and liked. I mean, you get censored and you can lose your job.
Yeah, you could, you know, and I understand how difficult it is. I truly do. You know, and but at some point, you know, it's like when I hear people talk about, you know, they'll say when we talk about repentance and taking a stand like we're talking about right now, and they'll say to me, well, you know, I'm not that bad. What do you mean you're not that bad? What do you mean? Christ died on the cross for your sins. God gave his only son to save you, and you're sitting here telling me you're not that bad? I don't care what you do. You're a sinner and I'm not saying you're bad, but you need to repent and you need to do the Lord's work, you know, so that you can go out and be an example to all the other people of how a biblical life unfolds. Now, I've been called the machine gun preacher before because I'm not real sensitive with words sometimes. I've learned as I've gotten older that you know, I need to kind of like soften it a little bit. But I will not give up my convictions. I absolutely will not, you
And
know.
you can't, and it's unfortunate your daughter has put you in the position to demonstrate loyalty to Jesus at the expense of the relationship, but that's not on you.
It's not on me, but it's also that's the whole agenda.
Yeah,
That
it is.
is the agenda. I mean, look, when I am sure, I'm relatively sure that you know, long before I was born, you were born, long before all this, gay people existed. But it wasn't in your face, we want all these rights, we want all of this stuff, we want you to recognize that we're different and all that. Well, I'm sorry. I'll recognize you're different, but that's as far as it goes. Just like you won't recognize me as being different than you. It's like, I'm sorry, but we have to, as Christians, especially nowadays, with everything that's coming down on the world, the satanic attacks that abound every day. It's why I do a Warfare Wednesday every Wednesday night on Zoom, where we talk about the satanic attacks and how to defend yourself against them. We're at a point. The end is near. I don't know when, but I do know Jesus is coming back. And I'm telling you, it's a good time for you and your family to be right and be aware of what's happening around you. Situational awareness is key right now, as a Christian. Understand what's happening, understand where the attacks are coming from, and understand how to defend yourself against those. I had the honor and the blessing of knowing the late Russ Dizdar fairly well. Russ spoke at several of our conferences, and I remember we were having a cup of coffee at breakfast one morning, and he is a warrior against Satan, or was a warrior against Satan. And I asked him, I said, Russ, what is the single most important thing that you can tell people when it comes to defending against the satanic attacks? And he said, repent and prayer. That's it. He said, all the other stuff that I talk about and do is stuff, but repentance and prayer is what it takes. America needs to repent, in my opinion. And I'm not a tinfoil hat holy roller by any means. You know me personally, but I'm telling you, America needs to take a harsh look in the mirror and decide which direction they want to go.
Yeah, I totally agree that, and going back to Joel Osteen again, people are neither all good or all bad, and no one's a perfect pastor. No one's usually not a totally corrupt pastor. There are a few. But the bottom line is Joel Osteen puts people in church. And when you're in church, there's a Bible there. And when there's a Bible there, the word of God can be spoken and salvation can be at hand. And this is why people who go and attack these pastors that are very, very popular and they do have the happy, feel good message, I say, be careful about your judgment not being total. It's okay to criticize certain elements. I think that's fine. But some people make a criticism global about the entire person and their work, and they're missing the good that they can do. The fact that Joel Osteen puts people in church gives people a chance to be saved. Even if you don't agree with anything Joel says, there's value to the end result of his work if people are going into church.
Well, and you're right. And like I said earlier, I think Joel Osteen's done more for Christianity than a lot of, I'm not going to say the.
I hear what you're saying. I know what you're saying, though, and I think I know where you cut yourself off.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
But the
And I'm not, and like
judgment.
I said, I'm not here to defend Joel Osteen. We could be talking about any other pastor. I could say Billy Graham from the past. He had
Exactly.
Billy Graham had the same criticisms. It's kind of interesting. I went back and looked at some of this, and Billy addressed it from the pulpit. Some people think I just want to make you feel good and I want to make a lot of money. I'm here to save your soul, is what I heard him say in response to that. By the way, on Sirius XM, you can also get Billy Graham. And I got to tell you, he was such a gift. And he's the one that really got me to think about converting to Christ. He really he did. My parents took me to the old Mile High Stadium in Denver, where the Broncos used to play, and it was 50,000 people there. It was an incredible event, and I think I was in late elementary school, and he captured my imagination, a kid at that age, and I said, "There's something here." My parents knew what they were doing when they took me there too, I think, but.
Well, the whole Azusa Street Revival thing was, truly an amazing period. I mean, Hear the Watchman, when I started it, was sort of formed after I got into studying Billy Graham and the street revivals and seeing what happened in the street revivals, because I felt that we needed that again in America. And people think like, oh, look at Dave Hodges and Mike Kerr. Mike Kerr must have like a, he must have a degree in theology. He must be, I mean, I'm sure he was saved in some beautiful setting and all that. I was saved in jail. That's where Jesus came and lifted me up when I was locked up. I spent a year of my life locked up. And Jesus was there and took me broken, completely broken, and used me to do Hear the Watchman and some of the other things I do. Jesus can use anybody. You people are listening out there saying, I'd love to do this stuff that these guys are talking about, but I can't do it. No, you can do it. Jesus will help you to do it.
That's where ignorance of the Bible comes in, Mike.
Yes.
Because when Jesus was speaking to a crowd, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus, this corrupt tax collector, and says, come down here. I want to go have dinner with you. And the religious leaders were outraged because everybody knew the guy was a crook. He could have worked in the Biden administration. And he went and had dinner with him. And coming out of that meeting, he pledged to refund everyone four times over what he had defrauded them. And he totally turned his life over to Christ. Christ uses people that you would never expect. In fact, I'm going to say something very provocative, Mike, and feel free to jump all over it, okay? The missing element in the Trump campaign is Jesus Christ. And yet, I believe Jesus is using him to unite the people along moral lines.
I agree with you 100%. I think that here again is a prime example where the campaign, just like the church, is afraid to publicly bring Jesus into the picture. And it's just I run into people all the time that I just deal with, maybe working around the ranch that I live on up here or something like that. I have someone over and we start talking, and it always ends up to, or you're that guy in town that does that Hear the Watchman thing across the country, and I'm like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, you're the last person I would have expected to be doing that, and I'm
What do
like,
you
yeah,
think motivates them to say that, Mike?
I think it's because I think it's because I am highly approachable by people. Like, I understand what it's like to go through really tough stuff. I mean, before I was in jail, I was homeless for crying out loud, And so I understand what it's like to have had everything and then have nothing. And I will tell you something that is probably going to floor people. It's much easier to find Jesus when you have nothing than when you have everything.
Because you don't have the distractions.
You don't have, look at,
Yeah.
when all the checks are coming in signed by God, who needs God? He's already doing everything for you. But when they're not, now you need God. You need Jesus, and it's And so I think that's where that perception comes in, especially too, because I live in a very small town. We are known as the most redneck town in all of Idaho. And so I think that it's some of that because I'm different, but it, like folks, it's Dave gets up in the morning and puts his pants on the same way I do, the same way you do. After that, that's where the differences come in. When I walk out the front door of my house and I get in my car, that's like my quiet spot for a second. Every morning I say the same thing. Lord, please help me to go out today and help one of your children and do what it is that you would have me do. That's it. And then I go about my day,
Yeah.
and it's like that's the way I want to live my life,
I completely identify with what you just said, because in the mornings, except when I'm negligent and forget, but in the mornings I ask Lord to use me in the way He wants me to be used to help people. And
Amen.
I'm going to tell you about a psychology experiment, and I think that I think people will see the meaning of this. When the psychologists have studied like the chemical serotonin, it's a brain neurotransmitter, and it makes you feel good. It calms you. It makes you feel content. And when we engage, when we are a giver of a random act of kindness, our serotonin levels get a bump. And it's interesting too, because it doesn't stop there. The researchers also found that the person who receives the random act of kindness gets a serotonin bump. And in addition, anyone who's watching this event gets a serotonin bump. We are hardwired by the Creator to be kind to one another without condition.
I will tell you, the most fulfilled I have ever been in my entire life has been when I'm truly helping others.
Yes.
That when I feel the best. And you know, the fighting, we all within the body, we have to stop the fighting and, as you say, the judgment. When I point my finger at you and say, you know, you're doing this, you're doing this. Well, there's four other fingers pointing right back at myself, you know. And so, you know, the judgment, the fights, we need to stop it, and we need to focus more on serving Jesus. You know, Jeannie and I, before we got into what we do now, we started an organization called Snowball Express, which was, God asked me one day to help the children. And I was like, what children? You know, I mean, God never tells me exactly what to do. He just drops these little bombs on me, and then I have to like figure it out. But we brought every widow and child of a service member that was killed serving in Afghanistan or Iraq post 9/11 out to Orange County, California, for a weekend of dreams. They got to go to Disneyland, back then the Crystal Cathedral, which everybody was, you know, freaked out about. But they had this Christmas show that they did, and we took them all to that. They had like live donkeys in there and all kinds of stuff. It was wonderful. But I took so much criticism for that event, you know, and doing
What was
that.
the criticism based on? I'm curious.
Most of it was because it became so big. I mean, it was all the airlines gave the tickets, Disneyland gave the tickets, and I wasn't. Disneyland said they wouldn't give me the tickets, and this was the way I was then, Dave. I said to the executives that I met with at Disneyland that that was fine, that I'd go out and I'd find someone in Orange County who would pay for all the tickets out of their own pocket. And then I'd pull a flatbed truck right up in front of the entrance of Disneyland on a public street and invite all the media to thank this person and explain to everybody that they had to step up to the plate because Disney wouldn't take care of the children of fallen soldiers. And they looked at me and said, "You wouldn't do that." And I said, "No, I am going to do that." You know, and so people, but the biggest thing that people did, and that you'll love this, is they would say, "It's just not right that someone like you would be running something like this." And I used to say, "Someone like me? Well, you know, you used to be in jail, you used to be homeless." And what I wanted to say was, "Well, I'm sorry, but like none of you do-gooders were willing to do anything." So, you know, so we stepped up to the plate. But you see, those are the criticisms
Did you
that.
get him to capitulate, Mike?
What's that?
Did you get Disney to capitulate and pay?
Oh yeah,
Good.
they gave 900 Park Hopper tickets to us to give away, and they even had this special thing engraved with the child's name and all that
Wow,
on
okay.
it.
All right. There we go.
They stepped
Yeah.
up to the plate once I threatened them, you know. But it was like that. You see, that's the sad thing, and that's where we are in America.
Do you know how they countered that though, Mike?
Well, it was like that with everybody, Dave. I
Yeah,
mean, it
but it's countered now. That pressure might not work today. And I'll tell you why. Because of ESG ratings.
right.
These companies, look at Bud Light, look at Target, look how they're willing to bankrupt themselves, Disney, the same thing, to espouse this crazy, let's mutilate children agenda, promote every perverse lifestyle in the world. And the thing is they get other companies to go along with it because if your ESG score, as reflected in supporting these systems of belief, if your ESG score is low enough, you don't get qualified for loans from big banks. You're shunned on Wall Street. You're cut out of business deals. And that's, see, I bet you had something to do with the creation of the ESG ratings because you coerced Disney to do something that they didn't want to support American patriotism. We don't want this God and family and country stuff, but you got them to do it. But ESG is now the counter to all that, Mike.
Yeah, I mean it was, it like I would not do it again. I mean, and I'll tell you why. Back then, Disneyland was the happiest place on earth. Well, now that I know what I know now, that'd be the last place on earth that I'd take these kids. But you know what?
Yeah,
It
I hear
was
you.
a moment in time, but it was all starting back then, Dave. What where we are today, I planted full-size American flags, the entire length of Camp Pendleton, from Oceanside to San Clemente, on both sides of the freeway. And Caltrans told me I couldn't do it, that they would have me arrested. Because if they let me put out the American flag, they'd have to let any other country put out their flag.
That's a bunch of crap. That is
And
an
I said
absolute
that.
lie.
Fortunately, the Marine Corps, a general that was General Leonard, happened to catch a newspaper article about this where I was all irritated and I said, I'm just going to do it. And if you guys want to arrest me, arrest me. And he came out and he said, here's what you do. You come over and you're going to do those flags just inside the fence line on both sides of the freeway. And that's Marine Corps property. And they can't tell you what you can do on Marine Corps property. I get to tell you what you do on Marine Corps
That
property.
is awesome. What year was that, Mike?
Yeah, that was in 2006.
That's absolutely awesome story.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was, it was a lot. I mean, I was, I had, I had, at that time, I was truly just a baby Christian, but I was convicted to do what was right, and I didn't care anymore. My career took a total dive because of it. But I didn't care. I was done. And that's the interesting thing that happens, Dave. When you completely give your life to Jesus and you decide that you will serve Jesus, you don't care anymore about the stuff. It's I like the stuff. I mean, I have a nice home. I have a nice studio and office. I mean, I like to go out and have a nice dinner and stuff like that, but I don't care about them,
Yeah,
And there's a big
every
difference.
Christian understands what you just said.
Yeah.
It's okay to have the possessions. It's okay. It's not okay to be obsessed with the possessions. And I hear exactly what you're saying. That's not what's important in life. Mike, we got about a minute left. Let's review how people can attend the conference. There's two different ways, basically. What are they?
Well, it's real simple, folks. The conference again is the April 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, basically. It starts on Friday, the 6th, I think that is. And all you have to do is go to hearthewatchmen, MEN.com. Go,
MEN.
MEN,
Okay.
hearthewatchmen, .com. Go there. You can get an on-demand ticket. It's called Live Stream On Demand, where you're able to see everything. You get to keep it. I don't, you can watch it for the rest of your life if you want to. You can share it with your neighbors.
That's unusual.
It's
Most
total, no one else does that.
concert promoters or most conference promoters don't do that.
No. And I just decided I don't want it. It's not my conference. This conference is Jesus'
Thank you.
conference.
Thank you for doing that. So hearthewatchman.com, and you can attend virtually or you can attend in person.
In person, it's all right there on the website.
All right, we're out of time. Folks, I got to tell you, the people that are attending the conference are absolutely phenomenal Christians, and you will come away with a changed experience. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, my brother. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
God bless, Dave.
God
Thank you.
bless you.